Vitaly Komar and Alexander Melamed first became known as Soviet dissident artists. Just as American pop art commented on images from advertising and mass media, Komar and Melamed commented on Soviet socialist realism and satirized Soviet poster art with its images of Lenin and Stalin. Komar and Melamed have collaborated on works of art since 1965. They left the Soviet Union in 1977 as Jewish emigres to Israel. A year later, they came to New York. In 1987, they became U.S. citizens. Their work is in the collections of the Metropolitan Museum of Art, the Israel Museum, and the San Francisco Museum of Art. Things are changing daily in the Soviet Union. When I spoke to Komar and Melamed a couple of months ago, I asked them to think back to the mid-70s, when they were thrown out of the Moscow Union of Artists, and what the consequences were.
In our times, it was not a big problem. We lost an access to art materials, art supplies, but we got this access through our friends. Hopefully it happened in the 70s, which were quite good times in, by Russian standards, because if it would happen, if it happened like, 10 years before, we could be imprisoned or something terrible could happen with us. But in our case, it was nothing, special happened to us as citizens or as an artist.
Now, since your work was satirical in content, do you think it was any more or less offensive to the authorities than, say, abstract art was?
At that time, it was more offensive, of course, because the authorities could feel the closeness to the art. They feel that they understand what is going on, but something wrong is going on. It was like a distorted mirror, when you look at this art, they saw their faces, but not official faces, real faces or distorted faces. So they saw themselves differently from that art, and that what irritated them so much.
You both participated in an art show that was written about around the world. It was around, 16 years ago. It was an outdoor show in a park that became known as the Bulldozer Show because the authorities came, busted up the show and even tried to bulldoze over it. They said that they needed the park area to plant trees and that you had to evacuate so they could start planting. What are some of your most vivid memories of that day?
It was a very exciting day. I think this the climax of our artistic life. We always were dreaming to repeat this day, to make another day like that, because what could be more exciting than provoking a real anger and feeling from the viewer, for the artist. So, and this was a really great event because we felt that our art is important for somebody, important to such a degree that the people are trying to destroy it. And as I said, it was frightening, of course, terribly frightening, but it makes it more exciting.
I remember that how the one of the authorities took our painting from my hand. It was our double self-portrait, and broke it and threw it out to the mess. And I remember my thought. I thought that's mean our art touched this person so deep that his reaction so, active, so violent.
Would you describe that double portrait painting that was destroyed?
It was a two profile on the red background in style of official portraits of Lenin and Stalin.
But it was you both.
Yes, it was our profiles.
That's how our collaboration has worked, and that's why we started to work together as collaborators, because from our childhood we always have had an image of great guys working as collaborators. So Lenin and Stalin was, of course, the most important figures for us, and we were trying, till now maybe, we're trying to imitate these great guys.
Well, you live in one in New York, one in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And, the New York art scene, I think, just as in the Soviet Union you were exposed to the extremes of communism, I'd assume the New York art scene you're exposed to some of the extremes of capitalism, in the sense that for a lot of people in New York, art is commodity, investment, status symbol. I'm curious about your feelings about the New York art scene.
It's terrible. Devastating, yeah. Worse than Russian system, maybe, because in Russia you can beat the system using the you can use the foreign cultures, you know, American culture, European culture, as an alternative to Russian culture. But in America, there is only American culture, of course, in art. So you don't have any alternative. Just you're stuck in this art scene and you forever.
You mean you can't dream of going to America where it's going to be better?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. There is no place. There is far west, you know. There is no way out. And that's a terrible feeling that you are confined and that's it. There is no freedom in this system. And there is no freedom of choice. And there is some choice, but it's a fictional choice. And not a real freedom, I mean.
I think the great period of American art, the greatest period, was a late 40s and early 50s, because America had the inferiority complex that America is provincial country, and it gave a lot of energy to the artist.
I think that generally speaking, the art which is produced now in the United States of America, I mean official art or recognized art, is the worst ever produced in the history of art.
What don't you like about it? Oh.
Just a general feeling. You know, there are some good artists, definitely, but I mean the whole establishment and the whole system of art is the worst ever.
You were talking about the lack of freedom in the New York art scene.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean by that? I mean, you're free to create anything you want to.
Oh, no. No, it's not true, because, you know, you're manipulated by media, you know, not only the simple or, you know, layman manipulated by media, but of course, in artists themselves and everybody in this country. So you're manipulated, you know, you're forced in a very sophisticated way, not like stupid Russian government, which used bulldozers, which were not effective at all, but in a very sophisticated way, we're manipulated by the system.
Do you think the art is trivial?
Yeah, the good example is Andy Warhol, which, and he is a ultimate hero of this system, you know, just to be part of the system, to make as much money as possible, to use media as a vehicle to be famous, and for 15, 20, a couple of hours, doesn't matter, because in this system, time doesn't exist.
I'm wondering if you also miss the extra power that art has when that art is forbidden.
It's not problem of power of art or not power. It's problem of expectation. The spectators in Russia really took artists as a political figure, also as a kind of prophet, as a kind of preach. And they really expect from the art to decision of religious problem of political, also economical problem, and philosophical problem, etc. And here sometimes we're really very sad to feel yourself as a part of hobby of rich people.
Oh, the rich people's hobby.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Rich people hobby.
How much freedom do you think artists have now under Gorbachev? How do you think life has changed for artists in the Soviet Union?
Now they have freedom to leave country and to live abroad and to be part of American European art. That's the only freedom they got, and that's what they were fighting for.
But you think life would still be pretty unpleasant for a painter in the Soviet Union?
Oh yeah, sure. Most of the artists, you know, I spoke all around the world. They're dreaming about some huge places when they are. When they were supposed to be the best, concentration of the best artists, like, you know, the people from, we were in Australia for a couple of months, so, and the people were speaking only about how to get to New York, you know, how to manage to live in New York. Same talk which we have in the Soviet Union now. So, but the life for the artists, of course, is not very exciting in Russia. The life in Russia is not very exciting.
Are you going to go back there and visit?
Oh, we visited. Yeah, I was once, and Vitaly was two times in Russia.
When you go to the Soviet Union to visit and see artist friends there, do you tell them how cynical you've become about the New York art scene?
You know, when I came to the Soviet Union first, you know, trying to reach my artist friends, I discovered that not all of them, but most of them now live in the West most of the time.
Uh-huh. And of course, relation of authorities to our art changed a lot. For example, they invite us to have an official show in Moscow at the end of next year.
Oh, are you surprised by that?
Oh, yes, it's a big way from the bulldozer show to the official show.
So now we're official Russian artists, the classics of Russian art.
So you'll be going over for that show?
You see? Yeah, I think so. I don't know. Yeah, sure. I don't know. No. We're very ambivalent, you know, very suspicious about everything which is coming out of Russia.
So you're even suspicious about becoming officially okay in the Soviet Union?
Absolutely.
Now.
We spent so much time to fight, you know, against officialdom of Russia, and now we're accepted as official artists.
Maybe that they can accept us mean that our art changed in bad side.
You mean you've gotten too tame?
Yes.
Okay, we'll see. The future will tell us what is going on in Russia, in our lives, and everywhere.
Well, thank you both very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Alexander Melamed and Vitaly Komar.